When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. This morning I want to encourage you to count your blessings. It doesn't matter if today you're having the most terrible day ever, or it doesn't matter if today is the best day ever. No matter what your day is, you have blessings to count. Every day of our life, we have so many blessings that we could count, so many reasons to give thanks to our great God. I want to ask you this morning, have you been blessed today? Think back throughout the day, the morning's almost over. Have you been blessed? And if so, what are some of the blessings that you've encountered already? How has God been good to you? Just truly is a blessing to be here with one another, isn't it? As you look across the way, you have friends, you have spouses, you have family. Those are blessings, aren't they? Those people are blessings. Today you might be in a situation like the hymn writer described. Right now, you may be rocked back and forth on the billows of life. You may be discouraged. You may be at your wit's end. You may think that all is lost. Maybe that's where you're at today. If not today, then maybe tomorrow, or the next day, or the next month, or the next year. It's at times like this, whenever we are going through the hard times of life, we need to make sure to stop and count our blessings. And as we count our blessings, we will be uplifted, we will be encouraged as we realize what God has done for us. Now we realize that the billows of life can be very turbulent at times, but no matter how turbulent those billows are, no matter how strong the storm rages, we always have a reason to give thanks to our great God. As we come to Acts chapter 28 verses 1 through 10 this morning, Acts 28 verses 1 through 10, we find a situation in which Paul the Apostle and many others with him had literally been rocked with the storms and billows of life. They were actually in a raging storm. They had been rocked so violently that they literally suffered shipwreck. They had to swim to shore. They had to float to shore. But even in such a situation in which they were shipwrecked, they were on an island that at first they didn't even know where they were at. Paul and those with them had many blessings to count. They had many reasons to thank God for his goodness, for his grace. I invite you this morning to turn with me to Acts chapter 28. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 10. And if you're using one of our pew Bibles, it's on page 1291. And along with Paul, I want us to be encouraged this morning to count our blessings. I want us to be encouraged to count our blessings on the good days as well as the hard days. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, I want us to stop and count our blessings. This morning, I want us to consider some of the blessings that Paul the Apostle had. You know, Paul, as he had just suffered shipwreck, he had just, whether he knew how to swim or not, he had gone through the water and he had come to shore. He was cold and it was raining and it was, you'd think, well, that's a miserable day. But yet Paul had blessings to count, blessings that God had given him. And as we work our way through the passage, I find at least six blessings that Paul could number one by one. And no doubt there are more than this, but I found six in our passage. And as we work our way through the passage, we'll see that first of all, Paul and those with him, they had a blessing in that they were able to safely escape from the shipwreck and get to shore safely. As we come to verse 2 of our passage, we find a blessing in that the people of the island welcomed them and they built a fire for them to warm by. We come to verses 3 through 6. As we continue down through the passage, we realize Paul was bit by a snake, but he suffered no harm as a result. We come to verse 7, and Paul and some others were invited to the leading man of the island. His name was Publius, and he was treated very well by him. Verses 8 through 9, we see Paul being blessed in that he can be a blessing to others, and Paul was used of God to heal Publius' father, along with many others who were sick and not doing well. We come to verse 10, and the people of the island give Paul and others with him many gifts along as they stay on the island. So Paul, he has many blessings to count, one after the other after the other. Yes, Paul at this point in time, who was a prisoner, He was under the guard of the Roman military. He wasn't able to go and come as he pleased. He had just suffered shipwreck. He was now on an island, and at first they didn't even know what island it was. It may seem as if everything was going wrong for Paul and the people with him, but Paul had many blessings to count. He had many reasons to give thanks to his great God. And I want to encourage you this morning, let's stop today and consider our blessings. It doesn't matter how terribly bad things may be going for us. It doesn't matter what's going on, but we still have blessings to count. Because God is always good, and God always blesses people like you and I. We just have to stop and look at the blessing, realize what it is, and give thanks for it. So let's be encouraged this morning. Whether it's a hard day or a good day, let's be counting our blessings and giving thanks to God. And so we come to Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, and we begin by considering the first blessing of Paul, the first blessing of his fellow travelers. Paul and those with him safely escaped to the island of Melita, or Malta. We read there in verse 1, and when they were escaped from the shipwreck, they knew that the island was called Melita whenever they had reached shore. So it was just off the shore of this island of Melita or Malta that Paul's ship had run aground. I'll give you a map here. We may not be the most familiar with the geography of where Paul was at and where he had traveled. Back in the earlier chapter, Acts chapter 27, we realized that Paul had left on his journey from Caesarea. So you look at the map here, you see the little red arrow at the lower right-hand corner of the map. Paul set out on his journey from Caesarea on a ship. And he traveled up north to Sidon and traveled westward along the coast of Asia. And they made a stop at Myra, and then they continued on and they stopped at Nidus, or at least sailed past Nidus. And they went to the south and they went to Crete, the island. And much of this journey was with difficulty because the winds were against them. And it was with much difficulty that they even reached Crete. And they harbored in this harbor of Fair Havens. Paul recommended, he gave his advice. It's dangerous time for sailing right now, so let's not go any further. Let's winter over here in Fair Havens, because if we go further, there's surely going to be loss of life. There's going to be a loss of the ship and its cargo. Paul said, let's stay put. Let's winter over here in Fair Havens. But the ship's owner, the captain, the pilot, those sailors, no doubt, said, well, let's continue on. There's a better port further on to the west. We can make it in just a day's journey if the weather is good. Probably they said something like that, and so they wanted to continue on to Phoenix or Phoenice. But as they set off from Fair Havens, they had a soft blowing southerly wind. But before long, they were engulfed in this huge roaring ocean storm, what we'd call perhaps a typhoon. And so for days upon days upon days, even 2 weeks, they're in this raging storm. They're basically being tossed wherever the storm is taking them. They're adrift. And here they are lost in the storm at sea for 2 whole weeks about that amount of time. They couldn't see the sun in the day. They couldn't see the stars or the moon at night. And eventually the crew sounds and they're getting close to land. And the land that they reach is this island of Malta. And so we have this last arrow. The island of Malta is where they end up shipwrecking. Even before they shipwreck on Malta, as they're in the midst of the sea on open waters in the midst of this raging typhoon, an angel from God had appeared to Paul, and the angel gave him a promise. The angel said, "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." In the midst of this raging storm, whenever the sailors had done all they could to save the ship, whenever many of them had given up hope, the angel gave Paul a message. Don't fear. You have to appear before Caesar in Rome. You and all the people in this ship are going to be safe, but there is a necessity that you will be shipwrecked on a certain island. Well, Paul believed the promise of God. He believed the promise. Yes, they would be shipwrecked, but everyone would be safe. Now, the place where they're shipwrecked, now keep in mind, you look at the map, there's a lot of space of open sea as they're caught in that storm. But where do they get shipwrecked? A very small island. The island of Melita or Malta is only 18 miles long and 8 miles wide. Not a very big piece of land, considering the expanse of the ocean that they were being tossed to and fro from. Keep in mind, they weren't able to steer themselves those 2 weeks as they were in the storm. But yet the Lord brought them to this island of Malta. They were able to steer in, and eventually they were caught in the sand or the clay. They weren't on shore yet, but they were close to shore. Now, can you imagine this? 276 people on board. They're shipwrecked. How many of them arrived safely on shore on this small island? All 276 of them. All of them arrived safely. No one died. God's promise proved true. See, that's a blessing, isn't it? We read what Luke says in verse 1, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. All of them escaped. All of them reached safely to shore. That's a blessing from God. We're still alive, they could say. Well, we come to verse 2, and we find another great blessing. The people of the island showed the shipwrecked men great kindness. What do? They build a fire for them. We read in verse 2, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. Now, I'm sure that all of you have read shipwreck stories before. Or you've seen movies with the theme of, you know, people on a ship and they get shipwrecked and they come to this land. They don't know what it is, whether it's an island, and there's inhabitants, there's natives on that land. And a lot of times, are the natives friendly or are they not friendly? A lot of times, as the story goes, they're vicious savages, these natives on the land. Well, as we continue reading, as we read in verse 2, you read, first of all, in the barbarous people. Whenever you think of this idea of barbarous people or barbarians, do you think of somebody civilized or not civilized? Usually you think of somebody not civilized. A lot of times you think of primitive peoples, you know, people that aren't necessarily going to be the most kind to you. You know, vicious tribes, people that are backwards in our way of thinking. But that's not what Luke was trying to communicate here. Whenever he talks about barbarous people, he's talking about people that couldn't speak his own language. Luke was somebody who could speak Greek fluently. And Paul as well, and no doubt the rest of the people on that ship, they would have known neither Greek or Latin. And here they are on this island of Malta, and the people don't speak their language. At least their native tongue wasn't the language of Greek or Latin. Maybe some of them knew it, but at this point in time, as all these 276 men were on shore, you can imagine all the native people, they're talking in their native tongue, and it would have been Punic. These people were descendants from the area of Phoenicia, and so they're speaking in Punic. And here's Luke, he's describing them as barbarous people, as ones that are communicating, and it sounds to him like bar, 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 bar. Just like whenever we hear another language that we don't know, it doesn't sound like much to us. So whenever Luke speaks about barbarous people, he's talking about people that were speaking another language that they didn't know, but they're not uncivilized by any means. Because what do the native peoples do? They don't go and try to have them for lunch, right? They're not cannibals. No, what do? They build a fire, and it's not to do anything wrong. It's to keep the sailors warm. Keep in mind, the ship was stuck and demolished offshore a little ways. So some had to swim to shore. Some had to float on some of the wreckage to shore. So they're cold. It's now raining. The temperature is probably just in the 50s. And so what kind of a miserable situation is that? But they get to shore, and what have the natives done? These people had built a nice big fire, maybe more than one fire, and they're able to sit there and rest and get warm and dry out. That's a blessing, isn't it? Not only had they survived the shipwreck, all 276 of them, but the people of the island, the people of Malta, are friendly and they build a fire for them. That would have meant a whole lot to Paul and those with him. So two verses we've read already, and we've already counted two blessings, right? Paul and the others survived. They escaped safely to Malta. And whenever they reached shore, the peoples of the land are very kind. They had built a fire so they could get warm and dry out. Well, now as we come to verses 3 through 6, we find another blessing. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw that the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. So here the native people of Malta had built a nice fire for the sailors to warm themselves. But as all of us realize, whenever you build a campfire, it doesn't go on burning indefinitely, does it? After a while, what happens? It dies down. You have to add more wood to the fire. Well, that's what was happening here to this fire. It was getting probably to the point where it was dying down a bit. You want to keep it nice and roaring and nice and warm. So what does Paul do? Paul's not beneath collecting firewood, collecting brush to throw into the fire. So he's out scavenging around, and he's gathering firewood. And he has quite a pile, and what does he do? He'd do what you or I would do. He throws the pile onto the fire so that the fire gets warmer. But little did he know that he wasn't just collecting sticks and brush. He also had collected something else. He collected a viper, a snake, no doubt a poisonous snake. Now keep in mind, the temperature probably in the 50s, it's quite chilly, and snakes in cool temperatures are not very active, are they? They're quite lethargic. And so Paul didn't even realize that he had picked up a viper in addition to the sticks and the brush. But the moment that that brush got close to the fire, that snake was getting a little bit more active, and he didn't want to be so hot. And so what happened? That viper grabbed a hold of Paul's hand, and no doubt it's a poisonous snake from what the natives, how they responded. I think the native people were familiar with the snakes that lived on the island, and so they thought in their minds, here is this murderer, a Roman prisoner. He escaped the sea, but now in their minds, the goddess Justice is now getting what, you know, giving Paul what he deserves. Yes, he had escaped death by the sea, but now this murderer is going to die by a snake bite. So the natives thought Paul was a goner. What does Paul do? He shakes the beast, the snake, off into the fire. Probably goes on and maybe he sits and warms himself. But the natives are just staring at Paul. They're waiting for the inevitable to happen. You know, he's going to swell up. He's going to drop down dead. They're just waiting, and they're waiting. There's Paul just warming himself by the fire, probably. He's just talking with the people, and nothing's happening to Paul. The natives are waiting and waiting, and eventually, who knows how much time it passes, and nothing happened to Paul. And so they think in their mind, they change their minds, this isn't a murderer, this is a god. You know, he survived this venomous snake bite. Now, the natives were wrong on both ends, right? Paul wasn't a murderer, but neither was he a god either. But Paul was a servant of the Most High God, the true and the living God. The sea didn't claim his life, and neither did the snake claim Paul's life. Why? Because God had promised Paul, you have to stand before Caesar. You're going to end up in Rome. So Paul was kept safe by the hand of God. God protected him. That's a huge blessing, isn't it? A great blessing. Probably anybody else that would have gotten bitten by that viper would have swollen up and would have fallen down and died. That's a blessing. Paul's life was preserved. Well, we continue down through our passage, and the blessing of Paul's life being preserved led to another blessing later on in the text. Well, we come to verse 7, first of all, though, and we see that Paul, along with some of his fellow travelers, were invited into the house of the most powerful man on the island. His name was Publius. He may have been the governor. He may have been some other very prominent man on the island. And we read in verse 7, in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. Some would say, well, it's luck. It's just happenchance, you know, happenstance that Paul and the others were shipwrecked so close to the property of this most powerful man on the island. But we know there's no luck when it comes to God. God had specifically directed them to be shipwrecked in this place right next to what is maybe the governor of the island, this very probably rich man on the island. Now, that man wasn't offensive toward Paul and the others. He wasn't standoffish. Rather, he invited Paul and many others, no doubt, into his home. He was hospitable. That's a huge blessing. Now, keep in mind, there was 276 men on that ship. It's a small island. They were not expecting 276 men that needed shelter for 3 months to stay over the winter. For 3 days, Publius, this man of great authority, a man of probably quite a bit of wealth, for 3 days invited Paul and others into his house. He treated them very well. So what at first looked like a very inconvenient and a terrible situation now is a great time of blessing because Paul and the others are receiving the best that Malta has to offer. They're with Publius in his house. It's a huge blessing. Paul and the others were honored guests of Publius. Now, as we continue reading verses 8 and following, we find another blessing because Paul, in this situation, is able to be a blessing to others. Paul would be used to heal Publius's father and many others. Look there at verses 8 and 9. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. Publius had been so kind to Paul and the others, 3 days, keeping them in his house, being hospitable, providing meals and shelter for them. Well, during those 3 days, they would have had some good conversations, and it wouldn't have taken long for them to realize that Publius's father was not doing well. He was sick. He had a fever. He had what is in the King James called a bloody flux. We would call it dysentery. According to the commentators, this fever could last several months, if not even a couple years. From a human perspective, all that could be done for Publius's father was to keep him in bed and keep him warm, and hopefully, eventually, he would get better. He would recover from the dysentery and the fever. Humanly speaking, that's all that could be done. But Paul, whenever he found out, he had compassion on Publius's father. He was brought into his room, and what did Paul do? Paul prayed over him. He laid his hands on him, and by God's grace, Publius's father no longer had a fever. No longer did he have the dysentery. He was healed. He was completely better. Isn't that amazing? What a blessing it was for Paul to show kindness to Publius and to his father. What a blessing it was for Paul to be used of God to show God's almighty power on this island where perhaps nobody knew of Jesus Christ and the true and the living God. Well, it's not a very big island, is it? Just 18 miles long, 8 miles wide. Word would spread quickly about what had happened to Publius's father, how he had been sick, and then Paul had healed him. Of course, we realize it's the true and the living God that healed him. But throughout the 3 months that he was there, probably there were many people that came from all over the island, people that were sick, that had diseases. They were brought to Paul, and what happened? Paul, by God's power, healed them. That's God's grace. That's a huge blessing for Paul and for all those involved. There's one more way that Paul was able to be a blessing, and that Paul himself was a blessing. And in fact, it's in this case that Paul received a blessing in verse 10. Who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they elated us with such things as were necessary. So the people of the island had been greatly blessed because many of their sick people had gotten healed. So the people of the island wanted to return the favor, in a sense. They wanted to do good to Paul and the others. And so all throughout those 3 months that they were there, the people of the island no doubt gave Paul and the others gifts, whether it's monetary gifts or other gifts in kind. What a blessing it was for Paul. Remember, these men, Paul and the others, what did they have on that island? They just had the clothes that were on their backs. And they had lost everything at sea, hadn't they? They had nothing on the island. So what a blessing it was for the people of the island to give them things so that they could eat and so that they would be warm and they would have the things that they needed whenever they go out on their journey again. Eventually, when they set to sea on another ship, the people of the island give them everything they need to go on their journey. That's a blessing, isn't it? A huge blessing. They hadn't expected that, but God blessed them through the people of the island. Paul literally experienced billows and the tempest tossing them here and there. They had gone through a great typhoon of sorts. They had experienced shipwreck. They're there on this island of Malta. But there, as shipwrecked sailors, as shipwrecked prisoners and soldiers, there are so many blessings on that island of Malta. What did we see here in the passage? We found 6 of them. Paul and those with him, all of them arrived safely on shore. That's a blessing. The people of the island were kind to them, made a fire for them so they could be warm and dry out. That's a blessing. Paul was bit by a viper, but what happened? Nothing happened. Paul kept him alive and safe. That's a blessing. Paul and the others were invited into the house of Publius, the most powerful man on the island. They were very hospitable. Publius and the others were hospitable to Paul and the others. They received great hospitality. We have Paul being used of God to show forth God's power. Publius' father was healed. Many others on the island were healed. That's a blessing to be able to be used of God that way. And the people of the island gave Paul and others the things that they needed during those months when they were on the island. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. I can't help but think that Paul, as he was on Malta, He just reflected on the goodness of God, the many blessings that he had received. God had been gracious and kind and good. We today, we're not on the open sea. We aren't shipwrecked. We're not on an unknown island or even the island of Malta. But we today have many blessings, don't we? I think sometimes we get too busy with life. We get too occupied with the troubles and our schedules and all the other things we have to do, and we don't stop to count our blessings. So whether we're having a great day or whether we're having a terrible day, may we be sure to count God's blessings one by one. Just recount them. And as we do so, our spirits will be uplifted, won't they? God will be praised. God is so good to us no matter what, isn't he? If you know Jesus as your Savior, you can praise the Lord that you have eternal life. And nothing, no one is ever going to take that eternal life away from you. You are secure in God the Father's hand and in Jesus' hand. You are secure. You have peace and you have joy. You have hope. Your home is not here on earth, it's in heaven. You know, if we are ones who know Jesus as Savior, no matter if it's the worst day possible, we can always praise the Lord for blessings that God gives us, spiritual blessings as well as material blessings as well. God is a God who blesses us. May we continue to praise him day after day after day.